The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and to prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the Book of Baruch. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on the robe of the righteousness that comes from God. Put on your head the diadem of the glory of the everlasting, for God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For God will give you evermore the name Righteous Peace, Godly Glory. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. Look toward the east and see your children gathered from west and east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For they went out from you on foot, led away by their enemies. But God will bring them back to you, carried in glory as on a royal throne. For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low, and the valleys filled up, to make level ground, so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of God. The woods and every fragrant tree have shaded Israel at God's command. For God will lead Israel with joy, in the light of his glory, with the mercy and righteousness that come from him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hymn 16. We will be reading responsibly by half verse. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel.
He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior.
Born our house to save.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that we would be, that we would save us from our enemies.
From the hands of all of the enemies.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers.
And to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham.
To set us free from the hands of our enemies.
Free to worship him without fear.
Holy, righteous, and just God, all the days of our lives.
You, my child, shall be called a prophet of the Most High.
For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way.
To give his people knowledge of salvation.
Our forgiveness of sins.
In the tender compassion of our God.
The dawn on high shall on us.
To shine on those who dwell in darkness, in the shadow of death.
And die our enemies to the peace.
For to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is a reading from the first epistle of Paul to the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with compassion of Christ Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, in the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and high hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, help us to breathe in today, but not just breathe in the oxygen that we need. Help us to breathe in the Spirit that we desperately need. Help us to be more about you than about ourselves, which if we can do that, can only be done through your Spirit. So Lord, help us to walk closer to you and trust in you. And then, Father, help us to have lives that make you smile. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. You know, I don't know about you, but there's more forms of communication today than ever in my entire life. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, anybody in disagreement with that? But with all that communication, I think there's more miscommunication going on than I could possibly imagine. I mean, people have written articles about it. People have written books about it. I mean, the miscommunication, the disinformation, the whole nine yards. And I think after this week, when I've really been studying the Scripture, I think that, you know, I really think I know why. I'm here to tell you the reason why comes down to one thing. Emojis. Yeah, I mean, I hate it. You know, I send out a text and I share my heart with somebody and I send it out and you know, I think I'm asking a question that's really significant and sharing some depth, and what do I get? I get back an upside down face with a smile on. I'm like, what does that mean? I hate emojis. I mean, I seriously, you know, I mean, I thought about it. What's the emoji that I send out the most? You know what emoji I send? I mean, what's your favorite emoji? I asked Katie this. Katie says, I like the one with the smile. It's got the three little hearts. I said, I'm not doing that. You know, but the one that I send out more than anything else is the one that looks like this. You know why? Because I don't know what it means, and neither do you. The truth of the matter is, with all that communication, do we still understand better or less?
Less.
I don't know. I have to think less. Thank God the Apostle Paul did not have emojis. You know, because sometimes when you read his epistles, they're maybe not impossible to understand fully, but you have to really dig deep into the cultural backgrounds and the language that it came from. I thought about that when I read the beginning of the scripture from Philippians that we have today. This has been one of my favorite writings. In fact, I'll be up front, when I got married to Sally, I had this read in our wedding, for the epistle in our wedding. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. And then this is the line. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. The one who brings it to completion is none other than God the Father, right? I mean, that's what I've always believed, and that's what I believe Paul's trying to say. It's God the Father who's at work within you, the Holy Spirit that's within you, the Spirit of Jesus Christ that's within you, that brings this good work going on. But what it means is that Paul is writing to believers, and if you're a believer, you have something going on in you that you may be aware of or you may not be aware of, but he wants you to be aware of it. Is that, excuse our dust, but dig we must. Because there's construction going on inside you.
Amen.
If anything, there's reconstruction going on within you. Now, it's not an automatic thing that just says it's going to power through everything that you do if you don't pay attention to it. It wants you to participate. Because believe it or not, when God created you, God created me, God created all of humankind, he created us to be creators with him, not just sort of be minions to him, but to be creators with him. And so that we have to participate in our life and in our faith and in the Spirit. Walking somewhat the way the book of Genesis describes the first encounter of the Lord with Adam and Eve. They walk naked and unashamed. How often do you do that? Seriously, ask yourself a question. How often do you walk with Jesus, walk with the Lord, walk with the Holy Spirit, walk with the Father, whatever way you want to term it? How often do you walk with the Spirit that's greater than you, naked and unashamed? I mean, most of us just simply plead with him. Most of us simply ask him for stuff. But how often do you just sort of sit still and say, I just want to be with you? Just let me be. Because that's what you were really created for, is to be. And in that being, the good work that was started within you continues. It continues. But to do that, you have to sort of come into the classroom, which, by the way, the classroom, you know what your classroom is? My classroom is, and I believe the scripture teaches this. The classroom for faith, the classroom for spiritual growth is your life. It's not just church. Heck no. I mean, sometimes that'll mess you up more than anything else. But it's your everyday life. There's an old saying that you got to meet life on life's terms. Meet life on life's terms. I wonder how many of us do that. I mean, please do not raise your hand. How many of you are really good at control? I am, you know, I've said for years, you know, if you want to know whether you're controlling or not, just watch the news. If you talk back to news, you're really controlling. You know, when you're driving down I-4, if you're talking to the other people in the other cars who are zipping by you, you're controlling. You see, when you are that controlling, well, the truth of the matter is you're really standing in the way of the river of life. You're standing in the way. You're disruptive to the classroom. How good are you at blaming? Scripture says real clearly, lead a blameless life. That's not just meaning that you don't do anything wrong. It also means that you don't blame. And yet, you know, some of us have really gotten that into a skill, haven't we? We can figure out how we can point the finger at somebody else for something that went wrong, or maybe even we did wrong, but we can put it off on them real easy. I mean, how many times in your own family do you turn some conversation around to where all of a sudden it turned out where you did something not so right, or they didn't like it, the other person, and you turn around and you point the finger back at them? Well, yeah, but they did it. You know, I mean, parents do it all the time. Your kid comes at it, does something fairly good, and what do they say? I don't like the way he said it. You know, they might have done the right thing. I don't like his attitude. You see, any of the things like blame or resentment, control, and I can go on, denial, we can go on to a long list, they become log jams in the classroom of life for the river of life. They become log jams. They stop up, they disrupt. They move us away from what it is. And we can't meet life on life's terms then, because we're trying to change what's come to us as the classroom that we're supposed to learn from. I'll be upfront with you. You know, to meet life on life's terms is a really difficult thing. Because
if you know, most people don't like certain parts of their life. I mean, they just don't like it. They don't like it for any number of reasons. I mean, you can pick them out of the air. I mean, I don't like this. I don't like the way they looked at me. You know, I don't like the way my hair feels. You know, I mean, I'm 71 years old, and I'm still wondering, God, why'd you make me so short? We don't like things that we don't like, and yet we have a hard time accepting them. And yet, if we don't accept them, to tell you the truth, it doesn't just mess up the thing that we don't like. It messes up the rest of things. It messes up the way we look at other people. A good work was started in you. The Apostle Paul says very clearly, I'm confident that he who started the good work, which is God who started the good work in you, will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. So the question is, how much are you going to participate with it? How are you going to receive the situations of your life? Because it's how you meet life on life's terms. The meeting is what really is the crucial part. Most of us here would say we know God is at work within us. You wouldn't be sitting here unless you did. Most of us here believe in a God, a power greater than you. You wouldn't be sitting here unless you did. But how well do you meet the things that you encounter in life? What's your meeting like? Are your meetings like where you're trying to sort of rearrange the facts to make it go your way? Is your meetings more about blaming or resentment or, you know, denial? How do you meet life? You know, I have to be honest with you, today is an incredibly special day for me. Not because of the Second Advent, but because a watershed event happened on this day 55 years ago. My father died. I was 16 years old. Many of you know that. I've talked about it quite a few times. That was a monumental time in my life. I started to think about it this year because you know what the interesting part about it is? I can remember almost every detail of what went on the week and probably almost the month prior to my father's death. He died of melanoma cancer. He was in New York City in the hospital. And, you know, I can remember the trips back and forth. I can remember the events of getting pulled out of school. I can remember being in the hallway of his hospital room, sitting trying to get my homework done while he was in the other room because I didn't have enough time because I was playing sports, too. And there was just too many things to do. I can remember Connie Ferrantino. I don't know what he looks like anymore, but I can remember that name because he was a friend of my father's. He used to give us a ride over to the hospital. It's clear as a bell, but I can't remember much for about a year after my father's death. It all kind of just sort of went away. I can remember the day of his funeral, and there were people crying, and I was like, I don't even know who you are. Why are you crying for my father? Who are you? I can remember people coming up and saying, oh, I'm so upset. And I'm like, I've got to be strong. I don't show any emotion. I'm a young man. That's the way I do it. But on the inside, being dead and thinking that I was dying. You know, I have to be honest with you. At 16, I didn't know any better, but I didn't meet that life event really well. Actually, I sucked at it. I didn't meet it well. I kept on thinking to myself, well, God, you're there, but you don't care. Obviously, you took my dad. You know, he was one of the good guys in my mind. Why don't you take some of the bad guys? You let, you know? And I was angry. I was angry, and I stayed angry. I remember the minister in the church that I had, Reverend Prince, you know, he went to my mother and said, you know, if Jim wants to talk to somebody, please have him call me. I looked at my mother and I said, do you think I'm calling him? That's part of the reason why I operate the way I do with people when they have loss. I usually call them. I don't wait till they call me because, to tell you the truth, I wasn't going to. I didn't have the energy to call them. It's not, you know, it's my job to reach out to them. Maybe that's one of the things I did right in meeting. I took an event that was painful and difficult. But I didn't just make it work for getting attention, which I did enough of that. But I used it actually to formulate the way I needed to operate with other people. was in the classroom more than I thought. Y'all had traumatic experiences in your life. Some of them probably happened within the last couple of years. How did you use it? Did you utilize a classroom? Or did you simply say, I don't like it, this isn't fair? You see, if you just said, I don't like it, it's not fair, and you stayed in that too long, I understand if you stayed in for a while. I stayed in for way too long. I understand that, but you somehow have to go beyond that, because otherwise you stop the Spirit from working in you. You stop the good work of what God, the Lord, the good work that's been going on in you. There is no perfect student, just like there is no perfect disciple. The only one that was perfect? Well, that's who we're going to partake of in a little while here, in the presence of Jesus in the mystery of the Eucharist. He's the only one who's perfect. So we don't have to do it exactly right. But somewhere along the line, we have to get off the place that we are and move to a new place. Somewhere we have to get and change the perspective that we've had in our brains to look at the events of our life not as things that scar us or cause us damage or, well, I've always done it this way, and move to a place where we turn that emoji with a smiling face and we turn it where he's not upside down, he's right side up. You see, if God was going to send us an emoji to communicate with us, I think he'd send more like one like Katie's with three hearts all over the place. He'd say, I adore you. I adore who you are. I know you had rough times. Thank God you finally grew up a little bit. You see, the Lord that we have is a Lord who continues to work in us. And if you don't believe that, then to tell you the truth, spend some time getting out there till you do believe it, because that's the only thing that really changes your life. That's where all of a sudden faith becomes vibrant and electric and real, and where you feel it as much as you even just know it. It's where all of a sudden you can express your feelings because you aren't afraid of them running you. You can just say their feelings, all well, no big deal. It's just part of adding to the river of life that goes in there, and I'm going to learn from it. It's there that all of a sudden we become what we're called to be and a little bit less what we are right now. It's there that all of a sudden we say, I do accept. Even though it seems unfair to me, I know God's got a bigger plan that's working, and somehow it'll all come together. You know, I love the fact that we have Eucharist. And as you all know, I was raised Presbyterian. When I came to know the Lord, I was a Baptist for a little while. That didn't stick too well, too many rules for me. Then I became an Episcopalian, but I came in the back door because when they asked me if I was going to be an Episcopalian, I said, I don't think I could be an Episcopal. And they asked me why, and I said, well, because every Episcopal priest I ever met was tall, thin, pale, drank sherry, smoked cigarettes, and was rather effeminate. I don't think I'll fit, you know. But then all of a sudden I fell in love with the Eucharist.
Amen.
And I fell in love with the Eucharist for a real special reason, because I heard another priest who I really trusted say, he said, you know what? Every time we come together in Holy Communion, every time we come together in Holy Communion, we say, and the angels and the archangels and the whole company of heaven come together. And I heard him look at this young man who had just lost his father, and he looked at him and he said, that's where you're going to see your dad, in the communion, because you're going to have dinner with him every time you take communion. 55 years. I've been taking communion for the last 40 years. Maybe I only missed 15 years of having dinner with my dad. But today I'm celebrating.
Amen.
And I'm going to celebrate being in the classroom. And I'm going to celebrate the fact that I got a lot more to learn. There is no retirement.
Amen.
Not really. Not the faith. There's just more chances to learn how to be who you're called to be. So more chances to be molded and shaped by God, because I am confident as this, as Paul would say, that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.